Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and run it. Did you record that last vote on the board?
No, here, now.
Did you record that last vote? That's right, we treated it as a last vote.
Nothing came out.
We were on the amendment, and maybe to save time, since we know what the vote showed on the board, if nobody objects, we'll just ask for a voice vote on the amendment. Is there any objection to taking a voice vote? Question is, shall amendment number one by Mr. Naughton be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The amendment has been adopted. I also had a 2015 tally on the board to guide me a few minutes ago. Amendment is adopted. Mr. Miller, will you advance the bill?
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 861 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
No objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 861 is advanced to second, third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, read the bill for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 861, amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act establishing the state educational incentive grant program and providing for an effective date.
Bill's before you for discussion. We'll have to do a verbal roll call. Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 861 pass the House? The clerk may call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
H. Byrne?
Yes.
M. Byrne?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Bradner?
Oh,
excuse
yes.
me.
Excuse me.
I ask you last. Brown?
Yes.
Buchholz?
Yes.
Cotton?
Yes.
Cooper?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Duncan?
Yes.
Eliason?
Yes.
Fisher?
No.
Freeman? Gardner?
Yes.
Greening? Guy?
Yes.
Hackney?
Yes.
Haugen? Hirschberger?
Yes.
Huntington? Itta? Kelly?
Yes.
McKinnon?
Yes.
Malone?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Naughton?
Yes.
Osi?
Yes.
Osterbeck?
Yes.
Ostrowski?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes.
Parr?
Yes.
Rode?
Yes.
Rudd?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Specking? Is that yes? Sullivan?
Yes.
Swanson? Urien?
Yes.
Wallace?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
Six excused.
Any member wish to change their vote?
If my vote is nay, I want to change it to yay. If it's yay, leave it there.
Please be sure that Mr. Eliason's vote is yay.
It's nay.
Yay.
It was yay?
Yes.
32 yays, 2 nays, 6 excused.
And so House Bill 861 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 861 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Okay, no objection, so ordered. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, can we be at ease?
House be at ease. House coming to order. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, without the machine, we're already running fairly slow anyway, and we're going to run a lot slower. So my motion is going to be that We'll hold over the balance of today's calendar till tomorrow. And incidentally, just for the purpose of committee chairman, before we get to committee announcements, the motion when we adjourn today will be that we come in at 9 o'clock, and we'll ask that all members please set your alarms or whatever is necessary so that we'll be here at 9. But, Mr. Speaker, I'll now move that the balance of today's calendar be held over until tomorrow.
Without objection, the balance of the calendar be held over. It brings us to the end of the calendar. Unfinished business. Is there anything to come before the House? Mr. Miller.
Speaker, a couple of items. We heard from the other body relative to House Joint Resolution Number 52 relating to immigration visas for alien children adopted by American citizens. Representative Buchholz advises me that the changes that were made are completely satisfactory, so I'll therefore move that this body concur in the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution Number 52.
Question is, the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 52. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The House has concurred in the Senate amendments. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we've also been holding for several days now a message from the other body relative to House Bill 198. This is the bill that we sent over to the other body. I think the vote here was only one member voting against. It allowed veterans' time to be counted in computation for the public employees' retirement system. The Senate made substantial changes in that legislation. Partly the whole situation had to do with negotiations with the governor over what was acceptable and what was not. It would appear now that the best thing for us to do to have the House view not only prevail but even be recognized, since the Senate resolutions did extreme violence to the concept that passed in this House, will be to go to free conference. So I'll therefore move at this time that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 198, but I'll ask the members to vote no.
Question is, the House concur in the Senate amendments to, is that House Bill or
Senate?
House Bill 198. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed?
No.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments. The clerk will so notify the Senate. Fairly sure we'll have a free conference, so with the message can go the appointment of a free conference committee composed of Mr. Miller, Mr. Wallace, and Mr. Elias. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, earlier today we had distributed before you House Resolution Number 6. If there's going to be a request for a roll call, we'll put this off till tomorrow, but otherwise we can pass a House resolution on a voice vote without spending a great deal of time. I'll move and ask unanimous consent I'll just call the question unless the members have questions on House Resolution Number 6. Well, excuse me, Mr. Speaker, I'm getting in a hurry to get out in the daylight. I'll move that we take it up as a special order of business at this time.
Objections noted. Mr. Smith.
Mr. Speaker, this is essentially similar to two resolutions that are already in House rules, HJR 60 and SJR 48. And I'm objecting to find out if this is some sort of devious attempt to circumvent the will of the all-powerful rules chairman.
Mr. Miller, is this a devious attempt?
This is not a devious attempt, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't even aware that there were two similar resolutions. This is a resolution relative to the federal action which is being contemplated in Glacier Bay. The Senate has already sent a simple Senate resolution back to Washington, D.C. So, as a matter of fact, at the suggestion of one of the minority members, we will just send back a simple House resolution. The only difference between the two is that this resolution, well, there are several differences, but the only really important difference is that this resolution, instead of calling for an outright exclusion of this part of Glacier Bay from the federal act, it does the same thing the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission suggested. And what the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission suggested was that the decision be postponed for a couple of years until the results of the mineral survey are completed, and then, knowing the facts in the case, an intelligent decision can be made. That was what the Federal Land Use Planning Commission suggested, so that's what this resolution suggests.
Is there any objection to bringing the resolution before us? Mr. Smith.
I'm trying to find, I'm rising to a point of order now, Mr. Speaker. I think that don't our joint rules require a use of a specific form of address to the All right, a joint resolution is reserved for address, mainly express the view of the wish of legislature, the president, the Congress, or agency of the United States government, or the governments of other states. Now, we do have two joint resolutions in the House rules, HJR 60 and SJR 48, and it seems to me that under our rules, we should move one of those rather than this simple resolution.
The rules provide for joint resolutions generally being prepared to express the will of the entire legislature to agencies outside the state structure, and concurrent resolutions on an internal basis. And I suppose, I mean, House and Senate resolutions are nothing but, you know, letters of the individual will. They could address anything. Mr. Miller?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, if if the representative from Anchorage wants to go that other route, that's okay, except if we want to make these amendments, then it'll take another day. In other words, we could pass a day, it'll still have to go back to the other body for concurrence and so forth. There's nothing wrong with sending a simple House resolution back to Washington, D.C. It's been done before, I'm sure, and as a matter of fact, it's what the other body did.
Actually, the rules provide for no direct stipulation to a House resolution. It does assign general parameters to the other categories of resolution, but simply says that it may express the will, the wish, the view, the opinion, the sympathy, etc., of the House originating it. Mr. Elias.
Mr. Speaker, I was concerned over this resolution, too, and I talked to some of the proponents who testified in Resources and Judiciary Committee relative to this resolution, and they had read the ones before us, and they substantially agreed with it. They support it.
Mrs. Fisher.
Mr. Speaker, is this a, as far as time, is it of the essence that we get this back here?
Mr. Miller.
I'm not at all sure, Mr. Speaker. I think sometime this week this matter is going to be before the federal Congress.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Speaker, you've satisfied me on the point of order, and I remove my objection.
Objection's removed. There's no other objection. The resolution is before us for general discussion. Is there general discussion? Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, just what does Senate Bill 2371 say about Glacier National Park?
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 2371 and a comparable House bill really deals with all of the national parks in the United States, and it says that no mineral development will be allowed other than for present existing valid claims. But aside from present existing valid claims, no mineral development will be allowed in national parks. What some of the people from Newmont Mining and others have been seeking was an exclusion from what's called the Western Watershed of Glacier Bay. That's what this resolution would address. A couple of years ago, at the suggestion of the Federal Land Use Planning Commission and others, a mineral survey was initiated by the federal government over there so that we would know what we're talking about. Some people claim there's a tremendous amount of nickel and other minerals over there. Others say it's not all that red hot. So a mineral survey is underway right now. It'll be worked on this summer and completed next summer. And all this resolution is saying is, let's hold off on this decision until we know what the contents of that deposit are.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it just seems to me that we could have had a Rules Committee substitute for SJR 48, which is on the same subject, considering the timing of when the last mail delivery is out of Juneau right now. We could amend it. It could be concurred in by the other body tomorrow, and we'd still get in the same mail packet. But I'll still vote for this resolution if that's what the people want.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not familiar with the Senate resolution on the subject, and the only question I have is how does it compare with the resolution before us right now?
Well, as I say, Mr. Speaker, the important difference is that the Senate resolution, like the original resolution, didn't say anything about waiting for the mineral survey results to be in. It just said that Congress should give urgent and immediate attention to excluding the repealer of the act of June 22, 1936, that portion that is considered to be mineralized. That's the most important area. There are other, I think, less important differences, a couple of them factual differences. The Senate version, for instance, said that whereas in 1936, after 10 years of trying to open the monument to mining, the Congress of the United States adopted the act. Well, actually, factually, that just isn't right. There was no attempt for 10 years to open the monument. It was done in 1936, during a very short period. So factually, this isn't just quite right. In the Senate version, there was language that would say that nobody ever got over to this area that's affected. Well, as a matter of fact, it's not in the tourist mainstream, but people do get over there. So we say it's less frequented by visitors. The Senate version at least strongly implies that valid and existing claims are not recognized by the congressional bill that's up before them. And factually, that's not true. I've got copies of the bill right here. Factually, the bill, this 2371, does allow the continuance of valid and existing claims. But as I say, the most important thing has to do with our tracking with the recommendation of the Land Use Planning Commission in asking for a postponement of the decision until we get the results of the mineral survey.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Brown.
Speaker, question to the Majority Leader. May I assume that he has been explaining the differences between this resolution and SJR 48 and not the Senate resolution which went to Washington?
No, I'm actually talking the Senate resolution that went back to Washington. My understanding is, I didn't even see it, frankly, but my understanding is it's probably identical to the joint resolution that they'd sent over earlier. So the result will be that our resolution will be technically more correct than the Senate resolution.
Mr. Eliason.
Not to beat this horse to death, Mr. Speaker, but these two resolutions have been in rules, April 12th, one of them, and the other was March 8th, so we better get along with them.
Question is, so House Resolution 6 passed the House. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Resolution passes. Is there anything more to come before the House on unfinished business? Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve a reconsideration on CS for House Bill 679.
Your reconsideration is noted. Reconsideration has already been given on that bill, but it's noted. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, could I ask the Sergeant-at-Arms to make note of the members who are absent, communicate with them to tell them about that 9 a.m. convening time tomorrow morning?
That objection. Is there anything more under unfinished business? I did have handed out earlier in the day a memorandum that between the Department of Law and Mr. Orbeck about some problems in the OSHA department and efforts being waged to frustrate safety inspections throughout the state. And since certainly has a ramification to things like workman's comp, I'd ask the Labor Committee and the Judiciary Committee to take a look at what's going on, because apparently it's sort of also coming from a national campaign of organized disobedience to safety inspections. You'll notice it's got a nice newspaper advertisement on the third page. Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know if it's a national disobedience, but perhaps just a small demonstration for the harassment of OSHA.
Mr. Wallace, the chair would have to respond that the OSHA bill in this state was a very unified compilation of almost every interest group who finally came back and said they wanted the bill because they preferred that to the federal inspectors being on the scene. And if we had had more efforts of cooperation between the interests on other kinds of legislation, we might be a longer way ahead, no matter how hard OSHA is. But I would like the two committees to take a look at it. Is there anything more under special orders? Committee announcements. Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Committee will not meet this evening. It will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's a half hour earlier than the usual meeting time due to the time the session is convening tomorrow. Under review will be some of the committee substitutes drafted up on the bond bills. In addition, depending on the amount of time that we have available, take up House Bills 111, 224, 435, 916, 917, House Bill 896, and Senate Bill 547, House Concurrent Resolution 123. It's a fairly long agenda, and that meeting may well be continued into the afternoon.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Speaker, the Labor and Management Committee that was postponed yesterday until today is postponed today until tomorrow.
Mr. Urien.
Are we going to have special orders today?
We called special orders.
Oh, I missed it.
You may have the
floor. May we revert to?
You may, sir.
Mr. Speaker, we did pass a resolution yesterday, and he was commending this fellow Roberts, whatever it is, for this supposed walk of his. And a couple days ago, I, like several others here, donated my $20. But because of recent news stories, I know there was a sort of a joke here this morning, but I don't think it's really a joke. It kind of leads me to believe that there may be some, there's doubts in my mind, and I don't mind being bilked out of $20, but I hate to see us all embarrassed. Since I sort of smell what could be a giant flim-flam, I don't know what we have done with the money, but I would hope that we would sort of hold it and not send it to this guy until everything is confirmed. I'd sooner give it to some local charity or something. I wonder what the status of it is.
Mr. Speaker, the money's on its way, but...
Mr. Notton?
Mr. Speaker, I advised yesterday to hold it here, and he'd walk down and get it. But it all reminds me of some of my father's best advice that he ever gave to me when he said, "A fool and his gold are soon parted."
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would refer, perhaps we shouldn't go any further in judging the merits either way of a matter that came out of a barroom wager. For Mr. Urien's benefit, I refer him to McGinley versus Cleary in the second volume of Wickersham's reports from 1903.
Is there any more committee announcements? Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have a committee announcement, but this is a pretty important announcement. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Harborview Gymnasium, the Senate will be playing the House in a basketball game. And so this is an announcement to invite everybody to show up there in uniform to play. Now, there's some kind of strange rules here. The Senate, we've kind of given them an advantage for several different reasons, I suppose. But they will be able to utilize their staff to help them play. And the House will not. So it's going to have to be legislators versus the Senate and their staff. And I don't know if this will be an advantage or a disadvantage. We'll just have to see how it works out. But we have to have at least one lady legislator on the floor at all times. So you lady legislators are going to have to show up with more than pom-poms. And so that'll be, again, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Harborview Gymnasium. Now, I hope everybody would show up so we at least have a quorum.
Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I would inquire, may a member of the House be represented by spouse?
Mr. Speaker,
Mr. Brown,
I was wondering if, following the tradition of the softball game from last year, if we can just have as many people playing as are there, possibly we could have a team of 40 people.
The answer to the softball game last year is that there will be no violence since Mr. Brown won't be the umpire.
Any other committee announcements? Mr. Miller? Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, House has to meet briefly after the session today, and possibly at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Any other announcements? Mr. Miller.
Speaker, again reminding the members, 9 o'clock, please be on time. I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection, we're adjourned.
Was